Okay, after wishing everyone a Shana Tova, Shavuot Tov, and Ktiva V'Chatima Tova. We had, just to review, a Tosus on Daf Ayin Hey Omid Aleph, at the end of Dibra Maskel Tfei, and Tosus, in the last line and a half, he asks a question of a Tema. The Sof Perikama de Chagiga Mashma to Hoda Potar Rav Shimon Malacha Shena Tzvikal Gufa Hainu Mishum Deboi Maleches Machsheves. Tosus understands, and it's pretty explicit in the Gemara in Chagiga, that the reason why Rav Shimon says that in a Malacha Shena Tzvikal Gufa, where you don't need the Malacha the way it was done in the Mishkan, like for example the paradigmic case of Chofer Guma of the Ein Tzorech El Liafra, the reason why you're part of the Gemara established is because of Meleches Machsheves, which we discussed at great length. You derive from the Smichus HaParshios, you have the Parsha of Mishkan, where the Torah talks about Meleches Machsheves, you have the Parsha of Meleches Shabbos, they're both written one next to the other at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, to teach us that just like Mishkan requires Meleches Machsheves, so too Shabbos requires Meleches Machsheves. So the Ptur of Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa according to Rabbi Shimon is derived from Meleches Machsheves. V'im Kein B'Chabura, according to Rabbi Shimon Shita in Chabura, that Chabura is Chayev even if it's Mekalkel, is Loboy Meleches Machsheves. There's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves with regard to Chabura. Haraya, the proof is from the fact that you're chayev even from a kalkel. The Gemara says that Meleches Machsheves means a creative melacha and not a Meleches Kilkul. And yet, in the case of Chovel, according to Rav Shimon, you're chayev even for Chovel B'Kilkul. And just to review, we have Machlokas between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Tosfos. Rabbi Avo says even if it's a kilkul gomer, a total kilkul, you still chayev. It means that the Torah lifted the requirement of Meleches Machsheves with regard to Chovel. And therefore Mekalkel is chayev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you need a tikkun ktsas. In any event, why should the requirement of Melacha Hatzricha L'Gufa apply in the case of Chovel? After all, Tosfos says, "Deloboy Meleches Machsheves L'Chayev B'Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa." According to Rabbi Shimon, in Meleches Chovel, we should be chayev even for Meleches Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And yet, the Gemara assumes here, if you may remember the case here in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey, with Tzad Chilozo, that he's Potzea the Chilozon, that means he tries to extract the dye from the Chilozon, and inadvertently he causes the blood to come out, which is Meleches Kabura. And the Gemara says, well, he's not Chayev for taking the blood out, because it's a Melacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa, which means in this case he has no interest in taking the blood out, he wants to take the dye out. On the contrary, he's interested that the blood stay in, because the longer the chilazon stays alive, the more beneficial it is for the dye. The dye is qualitatively in a better situation. So that's called a malach shed tzrich l'gufa. The Gemara says that even though Rabbi Shimon is machayev in chovel for a makalkel, right, he's killing this chilazon, that makes it into a kilkul by taking out the blood. But nevertheless, since he's not interested in taking out the blood, on the contrary, he wants the blood to stay in, that's called a Meleches Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So Tosfos asks the question, what do you mean, Meleches Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? Meleches Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, the Gemara establishes in Masechta Chagiga, is derived from Meleches Machsheves. Rabbi Shimon holds that in Meleches Chabura you don't need Meleches Machsheves. Therefore, in Meleches Chabura, you're chayev even though it's Mekalkel. And according to Rabbi Avo, it means even a Kilkul Gomor. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't require Meleches Machsheves with regard to Chovel. The Gemara even goes a step further. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, in a case of Misasik in Chabura, you're not chayef. Okay, we'll talk about that another time. I don't want to confuse the issues. But that too is based on the absence of the requirement of Meleches Machshavos. So if there's no requirement of Meleches Machshavos with regard to Chovel, according to Reb Shimon, then why does the Gemara insist that Reb Shimon requires a Melech HaTzricha LeGufa? And in this case where he's taking out the blood, but he's not interested in the blood, therefore Reb Shimon would say you're potter. Why would Reb Shimon say you're potter? To the same extent that you're chayef, even though it's a Meleches Kilkul in the case of Chabura. To the same extent you're chayef, even though it's a Meleches Misasek, according to Reb Shimon. I.e., we don't require Meleches Machsheves, that we shouldn't have any to do about Melech Shein Tzricha LeGufa. It should be totally irrelevant. And you should be chayef even for Melech Shein Tzricha LeGufa. Yet the Gemara says the reason why it's Potzea Chilazon is Potter, according to Reb Shimon, for Meleches Chovel, is because it's a Melech Shein Tzricha LeGufa, which means that you require Meleches Machsheves. So Tosfos here in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Ayin Hei Manav does not offer any answer, any light at the end of the tunnel. But here, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a sugya in Perek HaMatznia. Perek HaMatznia is the 10th perek of Masechet Shabbos, and the focal point of this perek is Meleches Hotzah. And the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, on the bottom of the page, addresses the issue of the shiur, the minimal amount that you have to carry in order to violate Meleches Hotzah and be chayef for Meleches Hotzah. Now, the Mishnah here, which we touched upon last time, but that was a year ago, that Mishnah addresses the following issue. We have something called Tafel. Okay, let me write this down because it's an interesting concept. Tzadi Gimel Amid Bet, all the way to the bottom. It's about six lines up from the bottom. Do we have a possibility of writing something here? I don't know. It's probably in front of my nose. So there's a word called Tafel, which means, in Yiddish we call it a nachschlepper. Are you familiar with that Yiddish word? No? Nachschlepper? Nachschlepper means when I move something, and I move something else with it, and something else hangs on. You know, it hangs on. Anyway, so that's called a tafel. And in Meleches Shabbos, specifically with regard to Meleches Hotzah, we have this concept of tafel. In a case where he's interested in the contents, right here he's got this receptacle, and he wants to move what's inside the receptacle, but he can't move it. Let's say it's a liquid, for example, and even if it's a solid, but he carries it in this receptacle, right? So he moves it from one reshus to another. So let's say this is called reshus hayochid, okay? And this is called reshus harabim. And he carries it from here, from Rishus HaYochin, and places it down in Rishus HaRabim. And there's no shear, there's no minimum amount in the contents of this receptacle. But on the other hand, the receptacle itself, which is called a kli, that itself should generate a chiyuv hotzah. So the Gemara says that even though he takes the kli from Rishus HaYochin and puts it down in Rishus HaRabim, he's not chai from Meleches Hotzah, because that's called a tafel. Tafel means he's not interested in the kli. He has no vested interest in getting the kli here. He just has to transfer what? The contents of the kli. But he can't do that without the kli. So the kli is called a tafel. So let's see the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Hamotzi ochlim pochos mikishir. So he's carrying foodstuff that's less than the shear. Let's assume the shear is something called kigrogeres. So he has less than a grogeres. But he's carrying it in a kli, in a utensil. Potur afala kli. Since the kli is tafel, shakli tafelo, the kli is insignificant to him. It's secondary. His primary goal is to move and relocate the object, the foodstuff, in this case, that's inside the kli. Or the Mishnah gives another example of a tafel. Es hachai b'mita potur, afala mita, shamita tfeilelo. So he's not chaya for carrying a live being, whether it's an animal or a human being, that you're not chaya for carrying. The reason for that is a different principle. For that you have to learn melechus otzah very carefully. That's called achai nosias atzmo. But be that as it may, he's carrying the live animate object in the bed, and the bed itself is an inanimate object. So let him be chaya for carrying and relocating the bed. The answer is the bed is called tofel because he's not interested in relocating the bed. He's just using the bed as to facilitate the movement of the chai. Now the Gemara is going to discuss and analyze why the Mishnah had to give these two examples of tofel. The first example was the utensil, and the second example was the mita. Why do we need two examples? I don't know. So that we don't know. Then the Gemara has another case, es hames b'mita. So now you're talking about a being that's no longer alive, correct? So it's dead, so the principle of achai nosias asu doesn't apply. So if he wants to relocate this dead animal or a human corpse into another place, then he's chayav. What happens if he has only a certain amount of the mess? He doesn't have the full body. So that's called kizayis min hames, or kizayis min anavela, or kadasha min asheretz, chayav. So the Mishnah establishes what's the minimum amount for carrying in the case of a corpse or a dead animal. It's a kizayis, and in the case of a sheretz, it's ke'adasha, which is a very small bean. And all this is according to the Tanna Kamma. And at this point, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, "You potter. Why you potter for taking out this corpse from a reshus hayochid and putting it down in reshus harab?" So on this we have a long presentation of Rashi. You'll see the Rashi on the left side of your page, and we'll count up about, shall we say, about 12 lines up from the bottom of the page. And it says over here in Rashi, I'm going to read it from the Gemara itself. This is a little bit easier for me. Does everybody have the place at least? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe the Rav underlined it in the photocopy.
Oh, so I didn't get a copy of the photocopy. Is it on my desk? Oh, okay.
There's no rhyme or reason to what I've been writing.
You know what? I have the original Gemara, so if you don't mind holding on to this, and we'll put it in the archive. We have here Rashi, Dibra Maskil, Rabbi Shimon Potter.
Okay.
It's on the right side.
Rabbi Shimon Poter Afilu B'mes Sholet. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is not arguing about the minimum shear of Hotzah, whether it's a kizayis. Even if you carried out the entire corpse in its full perfect state, so to speak, you're still Poter. Why? Tahavi Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa V'chol Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa Ella, what does Eina Tzricha L'Gufa mean? So this Rashi that we're about to read is a very, very important Rashi for a discussion of and a definition of Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa. What is Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa? I'm not sure if at this particular moment in our study we're going to be ready for this Rashi, but let's just understand Rashi, shall we say, on a superficial level. Rashi says, what's Eina Tzricha L'Gufa? Rashi says, Ela L'Salka Me'olav. It means that he was thrust into a situation which he's not happy with, and he wants to get rid of that situation. He wants to ameliorate a negative. That's called L'Salka Me'olav, which literally translates to take it away from him. So if you have something that's bothering you and you got to get rid of it, imagine if you are being attacked by a snake and you want to protect yourself. So that would be a classical case, according to Rashi, of Lesalka Me'olav. He just wants to get rid of the snake. He's not a zookeeper. He's not selling the snake to a zoo. He's just trying to save himself from the snake. Or in this case, there's something that bothers him. He's got a corpse in his house. He's got to get rid of it right now. That's called l'salka me'olav. Havi malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. This is not a malacha that he's seeking out. You know, that he's trying to implement a constructive act. You know, he needs a malacha. That's a classical case of tzricha l'gufa here. There was a situation that's very imposing, that's very negative, and he wants to save himself and spare himself from that situation. Dibertsono, Rashi says, again, underline these words because we're going to have to come back to this over and over again. Dibertsono lo ba'alo, he never would have wanted this malach if not for the fact that somebody died and he's left with the corpse. He never would have brought the corpse into his house, and he didn't willingly bring it in there. The situation was thrust upon him against his will. V'lo hayit tzarech lo, if you would have asked him, if all situations had been perfect in the ideal world, would he have wanted this malacha? He wouldn't have wanted this malacha. He doesn't need this malacha. He only needs it because of the negative situation that he finds himself in. Now we get to the point of Rashi that we need for our discussion. Why is a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa potter according to Rav Shimon? So please underline, bold, highlight, green, red, yellow, whatever your favorite color is, the next five words. Rashi says, Hilkach lav maleches machshevesi. Therefore, this is not called a maleches machshevesi. Maleches machshevesi, according to Rashi, is a malacha that you seek out. If all things are equal, there's nothing negative going on here. You want to seek out that malacha and implement that malacha. That's called a maleches machshevesi. It's well thought out. It's well planned. You know, you're part of a company and you want to build a building, or you're part of an agricultural society. You want to plant and grow and harvest and so forth and so on. That's called maleches machshevesi. You have a scheme. You have a purpose. You have a goal. Everything is fine and dandy, but you want to create something. You want to contribute something, right? We all want to contribute something. That's what our service to make tshuva is all about. These are days in which we try to figure out how we can contribute, how we can contribute spiritually. But in the physical universe, when you want to contribute physically, that's called a malacha tzricha l'gufa, which Rashi says is called maleches machshevesi. If you're not interested in contributing something, and had all things been equal, you never would have embarked upon this malacha. You implement this malacha only to spare yourself from a situation that was negative, that was thrust upon you against your will. That's called a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Rashi says it's not maleches machshevesi. It doesn't reach the standard and the requirement of maleches machshevesi. L'Rabbi Shimon. Rashi has to add those two words. Because who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon?
Rabbi Yehuda
holds malacha shein tzricha l'gufa chaya. And Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, so the situation was thrust upon you. Who cares? L'maisa, as it is, given the facts on the ground, you have to get out of this situation. In order to do so, you have to implement the malacha. So although that malacha was created because of a negative, but now it becomes a positive. Given the fact that you're in that negative situation, you need a positive malacha to straighten things out, to get things back to normal. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda calls it a malacha. Calls it maleches machshevesi, but Reb Shimon says no. Maleches machshevesi means that the situation is the slate is clean. There are no negatives. You know, this is a lechatchila malacha that you want to get involved in. That's called maleches machshevesi. You plan and you implement that malacha, and that's called a maleches machshevesi. But if a situation that's negative, that bothers you, is thrust upon you, you know, you got to get rid of this serpent before he, heaven forbid, he bites you, and therefore you have to protect yourself. Or, for example, the Gemara is going to have, I think I mentioned it once, a case of a boil. That's called a mursa. It has what's called lecha in it. Lecha means it has pus in it, and the pus is building up, and it's creating a lot of pressure. So you want to get rid of that lecha, so you puncture it and you make an opening, which normally would be, if you make an opening, that would be maleches bone. That's called creating a structure, but you're only doing it in order to get out the lecha. You have no interest whatsoever in creating a binyan here. So Rashi would say that's called a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, because again, if not for the fact that I'm stuck with this very annoying anguishing situation of lecha that's building up, I would never have embarked upon this malacha. So anytime I'm involved in a malacha that's just saving me and sparing me from a situation of that was balo keneged ritzona that came upon him against his will, that's called a malacha shen tzricha legufa. I honestly don't know why chofer guma v'ein tzarech le'el liafra is malacha shen tzricha legufa. He needs the afar. He wants to plant something, so he's taking the offer, or whatever he needs the offer for. Why is that called the Malach Shen Tzrichu L'Gufa? I even have problems with the case of Mavir. Mavir, when he burns a fire, so Rashi says that as far as the Eitzim, you know, the wood that he's burning, Rashi says that's not his malacha. His malacha is not to burn the Eitzim. What he wants to get is the fire in order to put his pot on the fire. So Rashi says that's also a situation of a malacha shein tzricha legufa. He doesn't need the gufa malacha, which is burning the Eitzim. On the contrary, Rashi says that's a makalkel. He needs to put his pot on the fire. So he doesn't have a need for the malacha itself. Why is that called, according to Rashi's definition, a situation of, what's Rashi's language here? Malacha shehi l'salka me'ola. He has to take away a negative situation from himself. I don't know, just because he has to cook, you know, he has to cook his dinner on a pot over the fire, then why is that called l'salka olam? So again,
maybe this is not the only definition. This is a definition that fits this particular situation.
Maybe Rashi has a second definition.
Right. The
truth is, Joel, you might be right in theory, but honestly, I have never seen Rashi offer us another definition. This Rashi repeats itself over and over again. Whenever you see Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, Rashi pipes up with this. Now, for example, if you recall, we once learned about Machaber when he tries to put out he extinguishes a candle. Let's say, for example, the light is bothering him. He needs darkness. So Rashi says that's also called Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Why? Because he wants to be Mesalek Me'olav the R. You know, he's got to get rid of the light. The light is bothering him. He needs darkness. He can't fall asleep in the light. You know, that's called a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, because Rashi says it's not a situation that he wants to get into. It's just that, you know, had there been no light there, he wouldn't have had to extinguish the light. And the real Gufa, Tzrich L'Gufa of Kibui, is when he's creating some sort of a charcoal, a pechem, the Gemara calls it. Okay, fine. In any event, bottom line is, according to Rashi, here in Masechta Shabbos, Sadi Gimel Amud Beis, that the p'tur of Rav Shimon of Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves. Do we have an answer now to Tosis' question on Daf Ayin Hey? Tosis asks, why in the case of Potzeach Ilazon? The Gemara says your partner according to Rav Shimon because Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Yet we're talking about Meleches Chovel, which according to Rav Shimon does not require Meleches Machsheves. There is no requirement of Meleches Machsheves in Chovel according to Rav Shimon, and the proof is in the pudding, because you chayv even though it's Mekalkel, and not only that, you'd be chayv even if it was Misasik. So there's no requirement of Meleches Machsheves in Chovel, and if that be the case, then you should be chayv even for a malacha shein tzricha legufa. The Gemara says that in Chovel, in the case of Chilaza, the reason why your potter is because of malacha shein tzricha legufa. But in Chovel, I don't need malachas machshavas. If I don't need malachas machshavas, I don't need a tzricha legufa. So is Rashi here on Daf Tzadi Gimel and Beis going to help us with Tosis Kasha? Absolutely not. He's just going back, falling into the same pit, because Rashi goes on record, he's committed to the position that the reason why you're potter according to Rav Shimon and Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is because of Meleches Machsheves. And therefore we get to Chovel, and the Gemara says that Chovel is potter because of it's not a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, then we're obviously implementing the rule of Meleches Machsheves. How can we do so when Rav Shimon holds Yechayev from a Kalkel in Chabura, meaning he removes the requirement of Meleches Machsheves? But the good news is that if you turn now to Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, which I think is on the flip side of your page.
Tzadi
Dalet Amud Aleph. Do you have such a page?
Yeah.
And you have Tosis Dimra Maskel Reb Shimon. which is on the fourth of the wide lines. I think I made a little arrow there. I don't know if it came out.
If anyone needs Tzadi Dal, I have a copy.
If anyone needs Tzadi Dal, we have an extra copy. Going once. Okay. Nira Lari. The Malacha Shein Etzricha LeGufa. What is Malacha Shein Etzricha LeGufa? Now I'm going to ask you to calculate how many times in this long Tosis does he repeat the concept of Meleches Machsheves. And the answer is he doesn't mention it once. Meleches Machsheves is totally off the radar screen as far as Tosis is concerned. It was only Rashi who introduced Meleches Machsheves to justify Reb Shimon's position that Meleches Shein Etzricha LeGufa is Pata. Tosis doesn't whisper a word about Meleches Machsheves. So what is Malach Shein Etzricha LeGufa? And Tosis says, we go back to what? To Mishkan. You recall that the source for all the Malachos that we have on Shabbos is the Mishkan. And therefore the Mishkan plays a very important role in Malach Shabbos, in defining Malach Shabbos. To what extent? He says, "Ksha'osa hamalacha v'eino tzarech osa li'osa tzarech ke'ein shayu tzrichim la b'mishkan ela le'inyan achi." Tosa says that with regard to each malacha that was done in the Mishkan, you can ask yourself the question and certainly give the answer to that question: for what purpose was that malacha done? And that's not just a historical question; that's a tremendously significant halachic question, because that's going to define the nature of the Malach. Because from Meleches HaMishkan we derive Meleches Shabbos. And in the context within, you know, in relationship to that equation or that analogy between Mishkan and Shabbos, we're going to define what's the purpose of the Malacha. And when I say Malach, I mean both in Mishkan and in Shabbos. The purpose of the Malacha is critical. And what will determine what is in each case of the 39 cases of Malacha is the tzarech, is the purpose and the tachlis of his Malacha. What's going to be my barometer? Mishkan. I'm going to look at the Mishkan in every one of 39 cases and I'm going to determine what was the purpose of that Malacha in the Mishkan. And then I put it up in neon lights. It becomes an absolute. And anytime a malach is implemented on Shabbos, you're only going to be chayav, it's only going to qualify as a malacha if you have that purpose in mind. And that purpose is set by Mishkan. So let's read it again. Kishosa malacha, what's a malach? Shein etzricha legufa, he does the malacha. V'eino tzarech, he doesn't need it. Li'oso tzarech ke'ein shayu tzrichin lo b'mishkan, ela le'inyan acher, he needs it for something else. So in the Mishkan, when they dug a hole in the ground, what were they going to do with that hole? They were going to plant a seed in the ground for purposes of the samamonim, if you remember. And if you open up a hole in the ground but you're not in the least interested in planting, then you don't have the tzorech of Mishkan in mind. That becomes a malach hashen yitzricha legufa. The purpose for which a malacha was done in the Mishkan, hu guf hamalacha, that's called the guf hamalacha. So whereas Rashi says the guf hamalacha means something that if all things are equal I would want to achieve, as opposed to ein etzricha legufa, where I don't need this malacha except that I have to spare myself and save myself or protect myself from some sort of negative, dangerous situation that's threatening me. Tosa says that gufa means the way the malacha, the purpose for which the malacha was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, let's say, for example, in our Mishnah here on Tzav Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis, he has no interest in the tzorech of hotzah, the way they did it in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, when they took something out from a Rishus HaYachid, and they relocated it by placing it down in Rishus HaRabim, they needed it there in the Rishus HaRabim. The purpose was to put it down in a specific location in another Rishus. But here, in the case of Hotzas HaMeses Tosfos, has nothing to do with the fact that the situation was thrust upon me against my will. That's Rashi Shita. But rather the fact that I'm not interested in the least bit in placing this mess in any particular location. I don't want to relocate the mess. But because again, I don't need the mess. It's not like I pass you, let's say for example, the Mishkan, they pass the krushim, you know, the beams of the Mishkan from one rishus to another because they had to get the beam into that second rishus. That's where they had to get it to. So that was the tzarech of Melechas Hotzah. They needed that chafetz to take it out and put it somewhere else. It wasn't that they wanted to get rid of the chafetz, get it out of here, but they wanted to bring it to someplace else. Do you hear the difference from both sides? It's a very subtle difference according to Tosfos. A or B. A is where you want to take something out and place it somewhere else. You need that object. So the whole purpose of your melech is for the object. That's called the Melech HaTzricha L'Gufa. That's the way they did Melech HaSotza in the Mishkan. And now we have case B, where he's not interested in the object. He wants to improve his living conditions in the house. And he has a mess in the house. So therefore he wants to take the mess out of his house. Does he care where the mess goes? He couldn't care less. I'll give you a mashal of my Domer Domer. Imagine if you find chametz in your house on Pesach. Heaven forbid, karamba. So what do? You want to get the chametz out of your house. Do you care where the chametz goes for your purposes, for your intention? Let the chametz burn, let it go up on the moon, let it go out to Saturn. Who cares where the chametz is? I'm not interested in the chametz. I just want to make sure that I'm living in a chametz-free environment. My house should have no chametz in the lo yirolecha chametz v'chol gvulecha. I'm just using that as a mashal. So if somebody if Shabbos would overlap with Pesach, and you find a piece of chametz in your house, and you take it outside into Rishus HaRavim because you don't want to have chametz in your Rishus on Shabbos of Pesach, that would be a Malach Hashem and Tzrich L'Guf according to Tosfos, because I have no need for the chametz. In the Mishkan, they needed the Keresh, the Krushim, to go from here to there because they needed the Krushim very badly. That's called Malach HaSotzah with the Tzarek Gufa, and Gufa means the Tzarek of the Mishkan. But in the case of getting rid of something where you just want to get it out because you want to improve your situation here, you have no interest in the object per se or relocating the object, that's called a Malach Shein Tzrich
L'Guf. The example of planting you gave, in the Mishkan it was to plant something very specific.
How far do we go?
All sorts of planting.
Right. So I think, David, the answer to your question is that a malacha is defined as a creative act. You know, that creative act can be done with a multiplicity, you know, an infinite, endless amount of objects. We're not interested in the object and the item, but we're interested in the abstract concept of what have you accomplished vis-a-vis that item, that object. So I'm not interested in whether he plants this seed or that seed. He's interested in planting. And the planting itself becomes the malacha. But if you dig a hole and you're not interested in planting, you have no intention of planting, that's called a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Because in the Mishkan, why did they dig this hole? That was for the purpose of planting. But here, I'm not interested in planting. I don't have the Tzarek of the Mishkan involved. Again, according to Rashi, I don't know exactly how to define Eino Tzricha El Afra. I don't know why that's called the Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf, as I mentioned to you before. And that's where Joel said that maybe there are two definitions that Rashi's operating with. I don't know. You see, I'll tell you, Joel, another problem is going to be the following. If Rashi has the second definition, then I think it makes the first definition totally unnecessary, totally superfluous. Why? Because what are you going to tell me? You have a mess in the house. And Rashi says that's a situation that was thrust upon you against your will. Forget about that. If Rashi accepts Tosfos, that it's not similar to the Mishkan, and the Tzarek Gufa is defined as the way they did the Malach and the Mishkan had for its purpose, then Rashi is wasting our time. Why does Rashi feel compelled, or why does he have a tzarech, legufa, to create a new definition, a new explanation of Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa in the old definition? That's what we call, if you're familiar with an idiomatic phrase called Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mana. If you have 200, then you certainly have 100. Here, if I have the broader definition of Tosfos, I don't need Rashi's narrow definition. Rashi is really, in a very severe way, narrowing the scope of Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Because Rashi's condition is, it has to be a situation that was thrust upon me against my will. If you take Tosis's definition, you don't need that. It becomes totally unnecessary. Just tell me that it wasn't similar to the need in the Mishkan. That itself would grant me a Malacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa. And now Tosis gives other examples. He says, let's say in the case of someone who captures a serpent. Remember I gave you that case where he's afraid that the snake will bite him. So he captures the snake. That's not what went on in the Mishkan. When they captured something in the Mishkan, which is called Meleches Tzeda, they needed that object. And the classical case is going to be the Tchashim. This was a certain kind of animal that they used to take its hides, take its skin, and use it to make the ureos, the curtains in the Mishkan. They needed that animal. But in a case of a person who captures a snake, he's not at the least bit interested in capturing the snake in this particular case. Again, if he wants to capture the snake, that would be a malacha tzricha l'gufa. Let's say he's a zookeeper, or he wants to sell it to a zoo, or let's say he wants to make a pocketbook out of the snake hide. I don't know. What do they use snake hides for?
Boots.
Belts. He wants to make a belt out of it, right? A very expensive belt. So in that case, it would be Meleches Tzeda Tzricha L'Gufa because he wants to capture the animal. But here, he's not in the least bit interested in capturing the animal. If he could somehow go zap or abracadabra, the animal would disappear, that would be fine for him. What is he doing with this Nachash? Just Shalo Yishachena. He doesn't want to get in a shicha, a bite from the Nachash. But Eino Tzarech L'Nachash V'Mishkan HaYitzichem L'Tachash. Or, for example, the chilazon. They took the chilazon, they made a dye out of it, and that would help them dye the curtains of the Mishkan. So when they captured the chilazon, they needed the chilazon.
Right, so is this, when it says nachash, it's talking about a poisonous snake. What about a snake that's not poisonous anymore?
But again, the only question is, why are you capturing? I don't know if it's poisonous or not poisonous, but if you're capturing it because you want the snake, you're going to do something with the snake, that's called Meleches Tzeda Tzricha L'Gufa Yechayah. But if you're capturing the snake because you want to spare yourself and save yourself from the snake, whatever it is, whether the snake is dangerous or not dangerous, but that's your purpose. You have no interest in the snake. That becomes Eino Tzricha L'Gufa because that doesn't fit the pattern. It doesn't mirror image the Mishkan. Everything has to mirror the Mishkan. Umafis Mursa, which means he's creating an opening in his body. But what is he interested in? Lahotzi Lecha. Hamazikaso. He's only interested in removing the pus. He has no interest whatsoever in creating an opening in his body. V'eino omed lahachnis avir ulahotzi lecha tamid. What is a Pesach in the body? Why would you make a structural change in the body? You would go to a dermatologist and ask him to open up this boil in a very specific professional way so that he removes the pus, but at the same time the air goes in and the air hopefully will heal this wound. And that's called making a Pesach. But he's not interested in making a Pesach. Why is he opening this boil? He just wants to rid himself of what? Of the lech, of the pus that's building up inside his body. Is afal pisha nasa Pesach gomur, even if he created a Pesach, which is Meleches Bone, Sharei Roy Lahachnis Ulahotzi, it has made that effect, that structural change in his body, that now the Lecha could go out and the Avir, the air, could go in. Nevertheless, Imayit Sarech, if he needed that opening, and that was his mindset, he would be Chayim. Because that would make it into Tzricha L'Gufa, he needs the Pesach. But if he doesn't need the Pesach, he just wants to get out the lecha, that's not called a Pesach. So again, a Pesach is something that goes in and out, right? You open a door. If I make a door, it means I can go inside and go outside in both directions. That's called binyan. That's a structural change. But here, he's just trying to free, through this little opening, he's trying to free the pus. That's called l'hotzi min lecha. That's a malacha sheni tzricha l'gufa.
Wouldn't that fit in the category of something that isn't lokaima? It's not something that's going to be permanent?
He says it's tamid. Apparently it is permanent.
Huh, interesting.
I don't know. You have to ask the professionals here. But it's permanent enough to be considered permanent, and therefore if he had the intention to create a Pesach, he'd be chayav for Meleches Bona as a Melech HaTzricha L'Gufa. So again, whenever you're getting rid of mazikim, something that's bothering you, or that's endangering you, or that's going to bite you, or make you very uncomfortable, then it's a malacha sheina tzricha legufa. Why? Can somebody give me two answers to that question? Rashi's answer and Tosis's answer.
Rashi says specifically something that you did not bring upon yourself, it came upon you.
Correct. So if this mazik is coming to attack me, I didn't look for this mazik, he looked for me. So that was the situation that was thrust upon me against my will. That makes it into malacha sheina tzricha legufa. I'm not l'chatchila, if all things were equal, seeking out, you know, this mazik to clap him over the head. And according to Tosis, why is it? Because of the Mishkan, they needed to take the animal and do something with the animal. Here, I don't have any interest, any need to take the animal. I'm just saving myself and protecting myself. That's called a malacha she'ena tzricha leguf. It's not similar to the Mishkan. Now, Rabosai, in the light of this Tosis, and again, chofer guva, I just want to add, v'eino tzarech el liafri, has no interest in planting in this hole, would be a classical case of going to Tosis malacha she'ena tzricha leguf, because it's not similar to what? To Mishkan. And Mishkan, why did they dig a hole? You know, to plant. So it's again a mirror image. Well, it has to be a mirror image of Mishkan. And here, in the case of Eino Tzorach El Liafra, he only needs the dirt. That's not a mirror image of Mishkan, and therefore becomes a Malacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa.
Rabbi, so what if, like, let's say there's this, you're saying it's only for Megabeg Mazikin, but let's say, like, this is for Shabbat. What about there's, like, a case of, like, a certain, like, sheretz or something that interrupts your growing chops, like a mouse or a tarantula.
And you're not interested in capturing the mouse. You just want to get rid of the mouse. Yeah, if the mouse would, I give you this example, the mouse would evaporate. I had a high school teacher who used to say, freshman was the first year in high school. He used to say, freshman evaporate. That's what he used to say. that was the phrase in those things. You know, they didn't like freshmen. You know. Anyway, so if I could say to this mouse, evaporate, you know, go up in thin air or something, abracadabra. I'm not selling mice here. You know, now look, let's say you worked at Hebrew University, you know, for the department of, let's say you were interested in
genetics
or something, and you needed a mouse for an experiment. You know, my brother-in-law works at the Hadassah Medical Center. You know, he does research. He needs rabbits. You know, a rabbit today in Israel goes for 500 to 1,000 shekel. It's very expensive. But in that case, you're capturing a rabbit, you know. So you're capturing the rabbit because you need the rabbit.
That would be a tzricha
legufa. That would be a tzricha legufa. Now, according to Rashi, it becomes very complicated because, you know, let's say there's a disease, and now I want to research that disease and publish a paper in some medical journal after my research on a disease. So maybe if I'm capturing the animal only to research that disease, maybe that's also a tzricha legufa. I don't know. According to Rashi, it's ad infinitum. You don't know exactly. When can I say this? If I wasn't hungry, I wouldn't have to plant anything. You know, so it's only because I'm hungry that I have to plant something. Maybe that should make it in a tzricha legufa. How far do you go with this?
Yeah, so I can't identify who said it, but there was malacha sheina tzricha legufa, even if it doesn't involve the way it was done in the Mishkan, it's still considered malacha tzricha or ken tzricha legufa.
That would be a kash on Tosfos. If you found a case where the Gemara subsumes a particular malacha as eina tzricha legufa, and it has no dissimilarity, if there's such a word, dissimilarity to the Mishkan, you have a kash on Tosfos. I don't have such a Gemara, but if you find such a Gemara, Tosis is going to have to protect himself. In other words, just to say it in a positive way, according to Tosis, anytime you see in Shas, Malacha Sheina Tzricha Legufa, you know by definition that it's not Dumya de Mishkan, it's not similar to the Mishkan. So we now can chart out a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. And again, I'm going to be using abbreviations here, you know, so you'll have to fill in the. There's something called a Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. Okay, I used a lot of abbreviations there. So according to Rashi, it means Kidei Lesalka Me'ola. Right? Me'ola. According to Tosis, it means Eino Dumya Lemishkan. According to Rashi, it's a Ptur of Meleches Machsheves. Because what does Machsheves mean according to Rashi? It's something that I want to do even if all things are equal, because I'm creating, I'm adding something to the universe. As opposed to something which is Kedei L'Salko Me'olav, to just get rid of a situation that's negative, that's problematic. But Tosfos, and I'm going to rephrase my question that I asked you a few minutes ago, how many times does Tosfos repeat the phrase Moleches Machsheves?
Zero.
He doesn't mention it even once. Zippo. And that's not just an oversight on the part of Tosfos. That was a deliberate decision, because Tosfos holds, I don't need Moleches Machsheves in order to justify Reb Shimon Shita about Moloch Shen Tzikugu for Pata. Forget about Moleches Machsheves. I reject Moleches Machsheves. I never recognized it. You remember we had such a question in the past as to whether or not everybody accepted Moleches Machsheves. It's not 100% sure. There's a sugi that I'm learning with one of the other groups called Misasek, which means that you do a malacha and you're not even aware of the fact that you're doing that malacha. And the Gemara there says that Misasek is derived from Moleches Machsheves. That's not called a Moleches Machsheves. And in the context of that sugi, we learned the possibility that there may be Tanoim who never accepted Moleches Machsheves. Like, for example, according to Rashi, when we get to Moleches Shen Tzich L'Gufa in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, you could always raise the following question. Did Rabbi Yehuda say that even if it's Einot Tzich L'Gufa, it's Moleches Machsheves? Or did Rabbi Yehuda reject the whole concept of Moleches Machsheves? The Gemara in Misasik, for example, this is a sugya in Krisus on Daf Yud Testament base. The Gemara says that there's machlos shin Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about whether or not we accept the principle that misasik is potter. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua only has misasik in Shabbos. Why? Because Moleches Machsheves has with Torah. And it's not clear what Rabbi Eliezer holds over there, because Rabbi Eliezer doesn't invoke the principle of Moleches Machsheves. Maybe he rejected the principle of Moleches Machsheves. Therefore, according to Tosfos' understanding, that Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa has nothing to do with Moleches Machsheves, then even if I were to reject Moleches Machsheves and completely disavow myself of Moleches Machsheves, I still would insist that Moloch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa might be potter, because of what? It's Ein Adumya L'Mishkan.
I think he's trying to quiet
So now let's go back to Tosfos Kashan Daf Ayin Hey for the third time around, but this time hopefully with a more optimistic view of it. Tosfos asks the following question: why does the Gemara assume inside Chilazon or Potzea Chilazon? Right, he squeezes out this dye from the Chilazon, and now inadvertently dam comes out, which is Moleches Chovel, and the Gemara says that even according to Reb Shimon you'd be potter, even though Reb Shimon holds that in the case of Chovel, Yechayev b'makalkel. And Tosfos says, I don't get what's going on over here. If Yechayev b'makalkel, it must be that as far as Chovel is concerned, there's no requirement of Moleches Machsheves. And then the Gemara goes on and says, but it's a Moleches Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, therefore Reb Shimon would say it's part. Okay, it's a Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, but Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is derived from Moleches Machsheves, and in the case of Chovel, according to Reb Shimon, there is no requirement of Moleches Machsheves. And the answer is, according to Tosfos, the Ptur of Reb Shimon of Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is not based on, it doesn't result from Moloches Machsheves, the Sefer Aloch of Ein Adumya de Mishkan. So it comes out the following. We can present the following thesis here. With regard to Chovel, in Reb Shimon's frame of reference, we have two different dimensions to address. One dimension is Moleches Machsheves, and the other dimension is Dumya de Mishkan. As far as Moleches Machsheves is concerned, we're going to drop the ball. We're going to drop the requirement of Moleches Machsheves. And therefore, you're going to be chayav for Chovel even if it's Makalka. You're going to be chayav for Chovel even if it's Misasek. But as far as Dumya de Mishkan is concerned, that it has to be the same Tzara for which they did the Moloch in the Mishkan, that's going to be a requirement straight across the board for all 39 malachas, including Chovel and Mavir, and therefore the malach shein tzrich legufa v'leches Chovel, Rav Shimon would say you're potur, despite the fact that we don't have a requirement of malachas machshavas, because we have this nitty gritty basic requirement of dumya, the Mishkan has got to be similar to the Mishkan. That's why Tosus, I think, would answer this problem. Now, in the case of Meleches Chovel, what happens is, it's very interesting, the Gemara says that when let's take for example the case of a Shochet doesn't seem to be collecting the dam, let's say. So why is that called Tzricha? What's the Tzorech in the Mishkan? And it's very interesting, the Gemara says that when you do Shechita, you actually need the dam. That's very strange. But the Gemara says that what happens is that you want the meat to turn red. Why would anyone want the meat to turn red?
Looks fresh.
Exactly, it looks fresh. So when a shochet wants to market his meat and sell it on the open market, it's in his best interest that it looks fresh. And the Gemara says, therefore, after the shechita, as a result of the shechita, the dam comes out. It's saturated into the base hashechita, which is the neck of the animal, and that's the sign that the meat is fresh. You know, it was just recently shechted. In any event, the bottom line is that shochet, which is your classical case of meleches chovel, and it's listed in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel as shochet. That's a chavala where you need the dam. And many times in the course of our discussions, we were wondering how and when and why would you need the dam in chovel. So, for example, we had the case of a person who's chovel and needed the dam to feed his dog. We had the case of Be'ila Rishona, where he needs the dam to establish that she was loyal and there was no hanky-panky during the 12 months of Erison. We have that in the case of Shochet, where he needs the dam to saturate to paint, so to speak. But in the case, and this comes back to Ben's question of a week ago, in the case of Tzadchi Lozov and Pozo, does he need the dam? He needs the dam inside the body, not outside the body. What he needs is the dye, not the dam.
And it's in his best interest to keep that chiluzon alive to continue his marketing.
Correct, because the dye is superior quality as long as the chiluzon is alive. So you want to extract this dye from a live chiluzon, not from a dead chiluzon. And therefore, from his interest and his purpose, the longer the dam stays in the chiluzon, the better. And now when inadvertently he takes out the dam, that's called a chovel b'malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. So in the Mishkan, when they did chavol, they needed the dam. And now we're doing the chavol when they don't need the dam. Now it's interesting, if you talk about mila, which the Gemara says is only mutar on Shabbos because of a special pasuk, if not for that pasuk, you'd be prohibited from doing mila on Shabbos. There you could say he needs the dam because the mila itself has to take out the dam. That's part of the mitzvah of mila. Again, it has to be studied very carefully, but we're not learning Hilchas mila now. But theoretically, if he would remove the arla in a way, I don't know if this is possible medically, where the dam would not come out, that would not be a fulfillment in the midst of mila. That's called a toughest dam bris. I don't know if you ever heard of that concept.
That's when you're born without an arla.
No, I'm just saying, let's say he, for example, he was a guy, and he did mila as a guy, and now he wants to convert to Judaism. So we need another mila, because his first mila is not a mila. And meal is an integral part of Geirus, but there's no arla to remove. So yeah. What do you do? That's called Hatofas Dam Bris.
It's also a thing of babies being born without an arla. Also
right, Nolad Mohu, or things right. Like that. So in all those cases, you see that the dam plays a very important role. That's why we say, V'dayi Chayi. And Chazal say that, what's the two dams that it gets? One's dam Pesach, one's dam Mila. Right, because we weren't zochet to go out of Mitzrayim, we had no mitzvahs. We were aru min ha-mitzvahs, fa'at aru the area, we say in the Leil Pesach. But we had two mitzvahs. We had the mitzvah of Pesach and Mila. And it's fascinating because there's a whole philosophical discussion here about the connection between Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. These are two cases in which we establish the nature of the Jewish nation and its essence, and that's what was established right before the Geula, the redemption from Mitzrayim. Okay, that's on a different note. So I'm also, just to summarize where we got to so far, we have now a very interesting approach to answer Tosfos's kash on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. See, can I trouble you just to put it somewhere that we'll have access to it? Thanks. And that is that even though Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't require Meleches Machsheves in Chovel, and that's why Chovel is Chayev for Mekalkel, but nevertheless you still require Melech HaTzricha LeGufo, which means that he needs the Dam. And if he doesn't need the dam, like in the case of the chilazon, then Rav Shim would say you're potter even for meleches chovel. But that doesn't make sense according to Rashi, because Rashi shita is that melech shein tzrich leguf is a ptur of meleches machsheves. But it makes sense according to Tosfos, who says that melech shein tzrich leguf is a ptur of ein adumya de mishkan. And now we go on to Bava Kamma. Do we have a photocopy of the Gemara in Bava Kamma? Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, and then we're going to go on to Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Okay, then. Now, in this case, we're not interested in the sugya per se. Anyone who has time to go through the Gemara, that's fine. But we're interested in Tosfos. So this is on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. This is Perek Hamenia. I'm not sure if we're going to get into Einat Tzarich LeKalba, but we certainly want to get into the question of Melacha She'ena Tzricha LeGufa. So the Tosfos is Dibur HaMaskil Chovel, but we're not interested in the first half of Tosfos. We want to drop down to the words V'yim Tomar. Yeah, that part of Tosfos. Amay mechayev Rabbi Avo, afal pisha eno tzarch lekal boliafa. Hakeima the enitzarch klal is malach sheni tzrich legufa. Now let's just review what we know. Tosfos' shita is that according to Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon went very far, and he says that makalkil gomur in chovel or in mavir is chayev even though he has no interest whatsoever. There's nothing positive about it. He's not feeding his dog. He's not cooking up his egg. So Tosfos asks, wait a second. You're telling me then that according to Rabbi Avo, by definition, you're chayef for chovel even though it's a melech shein tzrich legufa. Because if it's a meleches mekalkel, then by definition it's a melech shein tzrich legufa. This reminds us of a Rashi on Daf Kuvav that we spent a lot of time on about, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, that Rashi says that if you have a mekalkel, then by definition it's a melacha shein tzrich legufa, because if there's a tikkun, then that tikkun is going to be a tikkun that's tzarich legufa. And that's how Rashi explained the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a broader definition of tzricha, let's say, for example, even if you need the blood to feed the dog, that's also called a valid tzorech, that makes it into a meleches tikkun. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, holds that that which you need for your dog is not tzricha legufa, the Torah doesn't validate that tzorech. Is memeil, if that tzorech is totally invalid, it doesn't register on the Richter scale, then memeil you have a meleches mekalkel. Now Rabbi Avo is saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, you chayev in chovel for a kilkul gomur, then it's a melacha she'eno tzricha legufa. He doesn't have any tzorech. It's pure kilkul. And that's not very good news for us. Why? Because afal gav de mechayev Reb Shimon b'makalkel b'chabura, even though it's true that Reb Shimon goes as far as to say that yechayev for a kilkul and chabur, mikol gav nevertheless, be'inon tzricha legufa. And this is the sugya in Sanhedrin. You remember the sugya in Sanhedrin? We spoke about removing what? a splinter. And as he's removing the splinter on Shabbos, he removes also some dam. And the Gemara says that even though that removal of dam is kilkul, and even though Rav Shimon says yechayev for chovel, even if it's makalkil, nevertheless Rav Shimon would agree that you're allowed to take out the splinter on Shabbos, because taking out the dam is malach shen and tzrikul agufa. But now we're saying, according to Rabbi Avoh, Rabbi Shimon holds yechayev for chovel, even if it's a total kilkul gomor. If it's a kilkul gomor, then it's malach shen and tzrikul agufa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin assumes that even Rabbi Shimon, who holds makalkil b'chabura, is chayev, would agree that if he does it in a way that it's a malach shen and tzrikul agufa, that you're patur. How then can we justify that with Rabbi Avoh? Rabbi Avoh says that according to Rav Shimon Yechayev for a kilkul gomor, and if it's a kilkul gomor, then by definition it's a malach shen tzrikul agufa. The omeri the cholani sugis ki Rav Yochanan. Wow, look at this. The Ri is so hard pressed by this kasha, and he has no way of getting out of this problem except by invoking the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. You may recall that according to Tosfos, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon says that you need a tikkun, albeit a tikkun ktsas, but there's got to be some element of tikkun. Otherwise, Rabbi Shimon agrees that you're not chayav for chabura. Now, if there's going to be an element of tikkun, Tosfos says, that could make it into a balacha tzricha legufa. Again, that's a little bit of a problem. But we'll try to work iron that out as we go through this Tosfos. The Omeri, the Cholan at Sugis, all the Sugis that imply that according to Rav Shimon, in the case of Chabura, Malacha Shen Yitzrika Laguf is part of those, all reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. That the Kilkul of Rabbi Shimon's Chovel is not a total Kilkul, it's not an absolute Kilkul. It's a Kilkul that has an element of Tikkun in it, and that element of Tikkun makes it into a Malacha Yitzrika Laguf. So Rav Hosai, at this point,
it's not a tikkun gomor, basically.
That's going to be the issue here. Again, Tosfos says, and we worked on this very hard, and this is Tosfos on Daf Kuvav, that there's something called a tikkun b'miktas, and that's enough, according to Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon, to establish a chiyuv in meleches chovel. You need a tikkun ktsas. The tikkun ktsas is because he uses the dam for his animal. Now the question is that a melech hatzricha legufa? So if I were to tell you that meleches chovel means, you know, a kind of destructive, killing something, an act of destroying someone's life, and the Torah says that you chayev for meleches chovel, even though it's a kilkul gomor. So in such a case, the fact that he needs the dam for his kelev would be totally irrelevant as far as melech shen tzrik legufa. If the gufa shemelecha were killing the victim from which you're taking out the blood, then if you need the blood, that's a classical case of melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, like kofer guma v'yein tzarech aliyafra. But rather, the melacha itself, according to Tosfos, of chovel, is not the destruction of a person, but the destruction of the blood of a person. Or, to be more precise about the definition, would be the removal of the blood. The removal of the dam is the melacha of chovel, and that's the dumya of the Mishkan. That's the way they did it in the Mishkan. Now, when he victimizes somebody, assaults someone, injures him, and removes his dam in order to feed his dam to the kelev, does he need the dam? Yes, right? He needs the dam.
He doesn't need the injury, he needs the blood.
He doesn't need the injury, he needs the blood. If he needs the blood, then arguably that becomes a malach hatzricha legufa, because the gufa malach now is the dam. Remember, like in the case of Otzah, with Otzah Sames, we discussed, does he need the chefetz? No, he doesn't need the chefetz. That's called ein hatzricha legufa. But in the case of malach eschovel, the chefetz is the dam, and in fact he needs the dam. He needs the dam for his kelev. Again, according to Reb Shimon, that becomes a tikkun ktsas. It's not a tikkun gomor. And Rabbi Avo is going to say in Rabbi Shimon that that's the same as Mekalkil. But let's go with Rabbi Yochanan now. If we go with Rabbi Yochanan, then we can construct, according to Rabbi Shimon, Meleches Chovel Hatzricha Legufa. Because what is Meleches Chovel? What is the Heft of the Melacha, the object of which the Melacha, or the purpose for which the Melacha is done? It's the Dam. Oh, if I need the Hotzas Adam, that makes it into Tzricha Legufa. So on the one hand, the fact that I need the Dam is not going to remove the overall picture of Kilkul here. Very nice that you need the Dam for your Kelim. But you just victimized someone. You took out his blood. That's a terrible Kilkul. Ah, but it's got a Tikkun Ktsas. But that Tikkun Ktsas, which Rabbi Yochanan interprets as the prerequisite for Rabbi Shimon's Chiyuv and Chovel, that Tikkun Ktsas is enough to classify it as a Melacha Tzricha Legufa. Why? Because he's taking out the Dam. Is it overall, is it constructive or destructive? It's definitely destructive. But is it Dumya de Mishkan? It is Dumya de Mishkan. Why is it Dumya de Mishkan? Because just like in the Mishkan they did Meleches Chovel for the purpose of the Dam, so too this person who assaults someone is interested in collecting the Dam. He wants to use the Dam for his Kelev. That makes it into Melacha Tzricha Legufa. And we can even add Rashi over here, because Rashi says Melach Sheni Tzricha Legufa means that it was thrust upon him against his will. Here he's got a dog, he loves his dog, his dog loves him, he's got to feed his dog blood, I don't know why, but the blood, it's a bloodthirsty dog, and maybe it's a German Shepherd, I don't know what it is, I don't know which dogs eat blood, you know, you have to ask the...
You gotta feed the Germans.
You have to ask the Germans, right? So then you have to feed the dog. So Rashi would say that that's a Melacha Tzricha Legufa. So Tosfos is called Tzricha Legufa because he needs the Dam. Rashi would say it's Tzricha Legufa because it's not a situation that's thrust upon him, that he's trying to spare himself and save himself. So let's again review this Shakel and Dari of the Tosfos, and then you're going to have to go through it during Chavrusa time. Tosfos asks, according to Rabbi Avo, who holds that according to Rabbi Shimon Yechayev B'Kilkul Gomur, a total Kilkul, that makes it into Eino Tzarech Klal. And yet there are many sugyas in Shas, primarily the sugyan Sanhedrin Pehei, which we spent a lot of time on, that insist that even according to Rabbi Shimon, in the case of Chovel, you're not chayev unless it's a Melacha Tzricha Legufa. But if it's a Kilkul Gomur, according to Rabbi Avo, there's no Tzarech, it's pure destructive. How can it be considered a Melacha Tzricha Legufa? And Tosfos answers that all the sugyas that you'll find in Shas, starting with Sanhedrin Pehei, that insists that according to Rav Shimon and Meleches Chovel, it's got to be Tzricha Legufa, that reflects the sheet of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan understood that according to Rav Shimon, you need a Tikkun Ktsas, not a Kilkul Gomer. And what's a Tikkun Ktsas? That you need the Dam to feed your dog. If you need your Dam to feed your dog, that makes it into a Melacha Hatzricha Legufa. I would suggest that Rashi could not possibly buy into this Tosfos, because Rashi holds that you can't call something a Mekalkel and at the same time call it a Melacha Tzricha Legufa. The very fact that you call it Tzricha Legufa means, by definition, that it's not a Kilkul. That's how Rashi operates. But Tosfos operates with separating Kilkul from Melach Shen and Tzricha Legufa. Like, for example, you remember Tosfos in the case of Yisuri Anah. Tosfos says that when you take Dam and out of Behemoth Kodshim, let's say, for example, and you passel the karmon now, and the dam is also manah, you can't do anything with the dam, that's certainly a Meleches Kilkul. But nevertheless, Tosfos says it's called Tzricha Legufa because he doesn't know that it's also manah. So from his subjective perspective and his mindset, he thinks he can use the blood. It's mutar manah. He can benefit from the blood. That makes it into a Tzricha Legufa. So you see that Tosfos, on the one hand, operates with a total separation. Separation between two concepts. Meleches Mekalkel and Tzricha Legufa. That was the Pnei Yoshua that we spent some time on. Rashi, on the other hand, says no, these two concepts are interdependent. And if you're going to call it a Meleches Chabura, I'm sorry, if you're going to call it a Meleches Mekalkel, then by definition it's Eino Tzricha Legufa. If you're going to call it a Tikkun, then it's Tzricha Legufa. So therefore, Rashi doesn't have this luxury of saying that you could have a makalkel on the one hand that's called tzricha l'gufa. If it's a makalkel, then it's ain't a tzricha l'gufa, because makalkel means that the Torah doesn't recognize that tzorach that you have. So you may have a subjective need, but in objective terms, the halacha, the Torah doesn't recognize that tzorach, and therefore becomes makalkel. Tosis, on the other hand, said, I can grant you that it's makalkel, but at the same time, it's tzricha l'gufa. And therefore, Tosa says that if Yechovel v'chavero v'tzarech dam l'kidei l'achila l'kalbo, that itself makes it into a melech atzrich l'gufa, despite the fact that it's a melech as makalka from the objective perspective. Which reminds me of the discussion we had about shochet, that the Gemara classifies shochet as a kilkul, and therefore in Isuri Anah, let's say you have a sakin shalavodazor, you're allowed to use that sakin to shef, because you're not benefiting from the shchita, you're only destroying it. Right? And Tosa says, nevertheless, in Hilchas Shabbos, you would be chayav for such a case, even though the animal is worth a heck of a lot more when it's alive than when it's dead. Its meat sells for a fraction of the price of a live work ox, or any work animal. Tosa says, no. As far as Shabbos is concerned, that's considered a meleches tikkun. In Isuri Anah, we have to define your Anah in financial terms. Do you get benefits financially that outweigh the deficits? And certainly in the case of Shechita, that's not so. It's the deficits that outweigh the assets. So therefore it's called kilkul, and it's not Isuri Anah. But in Shabbos terms, as long as it's the normal way of doing things, he gets an immediate benefit. He's matir the Yisr Avram and Achai immediately. Then Tosa says that that's called a meleches tikkun. But in any event, we see very carefully, very clearly, that defining a melech as either kilkul or tikkun has its own rules and regulations. Tosa says that as far as defining it and classifying it as either tzrichah l'gufa or ain't tzrichah l'gufa, that's a different set of regulations. Your subjective understanding and why you need it, that can make it dumya the mishkan, even though kilkul is defined on more, by a more objective standard. And therefore Tosa says that if you beat up somebody and you need the dam, then in terms of what your subjective need is, that's called tzricha l'gufa. You need the dam. And that's the gufa shamalechas ha-mishka. What is the guf, the chayfetz of the mishka? Was the dam? You need the dam. But as far as kilkul is concerned, the overall picture is very bleak. You beat up somebody, took out his dam, with all the respect to your dog, but that's a meleches kilkul. And again, this begs the question of Mila, because Tosa seems to assume that there is a tikkun in Mila because of the tikkun mitzvah. So that has to be understood in the light of this Tosa. Okay, I don't know if we're ready for that now. It's already time to break into Chavrusa. So what I would like you to do, I tried to indicate on Daf Lamed Hey with a little addition by pen. Did it come out on the photocopy? So basically about the first, I would say, 20 lines in Tosas. I don't know exactly how many lines. But really to start from the Yom back on Lamed Daled Amud Beis and see if you could plow through the entire Tosas. Now instead of my Chumash class today, if anyone's, I don't know, here, anyone here, no one here is comes to my Chumash class. Oh, okay. Because instead of Chumash, I'm giving something for Yom Kippur today.
Robert?
Yes.
After we do our best to understand Rav Shimon, which is the focus of... But should we try to analyze? We have time, Rav Yehuda, like how he would see Malach Hashem Surah Gufa and Malach Mashavit. Is that sounds like a complicated assignment, but I think we have to understand what.
Yeah, I didn't get to that yet in my learning of the sugya, but we neither will.
Would that be the next logical step to understand?
I don't know. I don't want to promise you. Okay, it's good. I may need your help in photocopying a Ramban for the next. That's for tomorrow.
Ramban's tomorrow.
I mean, tomorrow we want to go through the Tosas very carefully and see if we can figure out Pshat.
Days without coffee, you can't have a Ramban.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I'll copy it today.
Right, yeah, if you don't mind, that would be great. The Ramban. I'll have to underline the right words, but it's this page.
Okay. Maybe I'll make one copy and then.
Yeah, and then if you can bring it to me, and I'll try to add the arrows. So because otherwise it's very. What you might even want to do, just to save yourself time, is print out these two pages on a larger sheet.
Okay.
You know, and then this one I only need the right side, but. Okay then?
I'm still learning how to perfect.
Yeah, we're learning all these things. And